Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The action-adventure foot soldier in the CIA by James T. Williams is the story of the men and women in the Office of Technical Service who support CIA case officers and agents in their operations. Their concern is that the technical aspect of every operation is as nearly perfect as possible. The story is an account of the way they approach their daily activities with high morale, unrivaled expertise, and the best sense of humor in all the CIA. James Williams grew up in the small North Carolina town of East Bend near Winston-Salem, earned a degree in chemistry at Wake Forest College, now university, took a job working in a paper mill in western North Carolina near Asheville, but quit the mill after 7 years, was out of work for almost 2 years looking for a more interesting career, and he found it in the CIA, working 20 years as a tech in OTS. After he retired, James embarked on a 23-year second career as a docent for three historical properties in Old Town Alexandria. James T. Williams, author of Foot Soldier and the CIA, is our guest on This Week in America. James, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, as we always say nowadays. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being on the air to talk about Foot Soldier in the CIA. I mentioned the OTS as part of the CIA. Most of us don't know a whole lot about the CIA and probably nothing about the OTS. What exactly is the OTS?
It's one of the several offices within the Directorate of Science and Technology. As soon as the CIA was founded in 1947, the next year, there was an Office of Strategic Intelligence, and it evolved until eventually DS&T. And in DS&T was OTS. Now, there's all kind of high-level investigations, technology going on, but we were the ones, we, OTS, were the ones who were specifically tasked to deal with people. That is, the case officers in the field, where, you know, as we say, it's in the sharp end. That's where the intelligence is collected. And our job was to support the case officer. We had the case officer's back, and if he needed us, we worked right with him. We were such that he couldn't do without us. But again, it's support. So we didn't get much recognition.
Yep, yes.
But we didn't care. We just wanted to do a really good job. And it was a wonderful job.
An important part of the CIA operation we know now is OTS. It's reflected in Jim's book, Foot Soldiers in the CIA, Foot Soldier in the CIA. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold. Direct you to pageturner.us in the bookstore, amazon.com. It's interesting how you got there. I did a short version of that story. You're out of work looking for something. Talk about how you ended up at the CIA.
We have time to tell this, Rick.
I love the story. This wasn't like a lifelong dream that James had since a child. I need to work for the government. I'd love to work in the CIA. How did this come about?
It's so strange. I don't even believe it myself. But anyway, I was working at a paper mill. It was wonderful. I had all the money I needed. Jane, my lovely wife, was teaching high school. I had a 44-acre farm. I was doing very well. I had done 7 years, and I looked down the road, and I thought, I've got 30 more years of this. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh, my God. and I began to chafe. And pretty soon, Jane said, if you don't quit, I'm going around and quit for you. This lovely woman supported me. She didn't realize at the time. She supported me for almost 3 years. She should have shot me. But she supported me all that time. And I had to hire a headhunter in Charlotte to get started and at least make a resume.
Yes.
So I had about three job offers in a year. And then I found what I really liked in South Carolina. I was going to take it. I was driving back on the freeway thinking about how good things were going to be. And all of a sudden I had this revelation like Saul on Road to Tarsus. It wasn't a blinding light, but almost. I thought to myself, I just quit a paper mill. Why am I trying to get on again at another paper mill? I drove home, and the next 2 weeks, I spent driving around the dirt roads around Nashville in that area in North Carolina. And then finally, I decided to accept the best single piece of advice I ever had in my life from my ninth grade algebra teacher, I.V.W. Singletary. Singletary was older by the time I knew him, 60s. He was pudgy. He had a florid complexion, a buck tooth, had some white tendrils of hair around his ears, and he told the worst jokes in the world. Johnny Carson, we called him Groaners. But we laughed at everyone because we really liked and respected this man, and we knew he was looking out for us. His mantra, aim for a star if you hit a stump. Now, every teacher's used that aim for a star. Do all you can do, aim high. But when Singletary added the stump, he took it out of the realm of moonbeams and put it right down on the ground.
Yes.
And he says, if you go through your life, you're going to hit some stumps. Make it count. And then he said, if you don't hit some stumps, if you don't hit enough, aim higher. So I decided to aim higher. And I thought, what job would I aim for if it was a dream job? Now, keep in mind that Mickey Mantle was already a center fielder for the Yankees. But anyway, other than that, I thought, what would I like? FBI and CIA. Now, Jane was the first miracle, letting me take basically 3 years off. But the second miracle begins here. I went to my phone book. In those days, the phone books in the country had a little section where you get the addresses for businesses and government.
Yes.
I got the address of CIA and FBI. Basically, it was the initials and a zip code. I wrote both of them a note with my resume and said, if you got anything I could do. 2 weeks later, FBI got back and said, we appreciate your interest, but we're looking for lawyers. And then I got the thing back from CIA, and it was stapled on the end with a fake return address. I found that out later. And it simply said, we think we have something you could do. We want you to come to Washington to be interviewed.
Wow.
I went. And eventually, after several more months of this investigation, I was hired. Second miracle is in place. And the third miracle, I was hired into an operational section. Here's a paper mill chemist, and he's going to go out and actually involve himself in clandestine operations to help the case officer. That's the third miracle. The fourth miracle is 50 years later, after I retired, Page-Turner Press found my book floating around and decided to represent it. And that's the reason that we're having this conversation.
Yes.
And, of course, now, Rick, you realize you represent miracle number five. That number five miracle is the one that's got money attached to it.
I hope so.
Yeah, all those people listening, if you want to go do a good deed, go out and buy the book. You'll enjoy it. You really will. It's just really good spokes. And the thing about this is, I didn't have to make up anything. When I wrote this, I just wrote about my career in OTS. And I realized just how good those people were. They were smart. They were dedicated. They had great integrity. And as I say, had great sense of humor. And we had a good time every day.
And that comes across so well in the book, Foot Soldier in the CIA. Our guest is James Williams, his book available. PageTurner.us in the bookstore, of course, Amazon, all of the usual places, and a link directly to Page Turner and the bookstore there by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. At what point did you decide to write the book, to tell the story of what happened at the Office of Technical Service? And for many of us, the first time we've really ever heard about that.
That's the point right there, Rick. You just said it. The Case Officer Corps could not have existed without us. I mean, really. We took care of them the very best way we could. But let me put this... Let's go back to medieval army. the officers would be the knights. The case officers would be the knights, riding in on white chargers,
yes,
flags flying, bugles blowing. We, the ground pounders, would walk into the battle, fight hand to hand, win the battle, and hold the ground, and also bring along all the water and oats for the officers' horses. They couldn't have survived without us. The case officers were the same way. So, yes, we were absolutely vital for us to be there. But we almost never got any recognition. And as I wrote that book, I thought, you know, this is really a good thing, because I'm telling just a story just as it happened. I didn't have to make up anything. And when you've got a good story about good people, that's the time to write a book.
Well, and you've done that, and the book is doing well. Excellent reviews. The book is Foot Soldier in the CIA. I love that title. That's very descriptive, isn't it, of what you did and the foot soldier aspect of it. It's very aptly named.
Yes, that's so important. The people that I work with, they were really good people, really interesting people, too. And they will recognize themselves in the book. Of course, I had to change enough stuff so it could go by the publication review board.
Yes.
But those people will know it's them, and I think they'll be happy. And I should point out for the younger readers that I served in the CIA during what would be called, for technical support, the Jurassic season. We actually had active microdot cases when I came on board, believe it or not.
Wow.
For you young folks, that's defined as 1 millimeter square piece of film, which could carry up to 75 words. It was read out with a microscope. You have to bury that in a sheet of paper and send it out. Thank God I didn't have to worry for very long about that. And then we were cigarettiing. That's where I was in. And then dot copy photo mainly. The kind of things you don't do now. Why should you do that? You've got a cell phone. What do you need a camera for? Take your picture, add the encryption algorithm, send it back to the headquarters at the speed of light. God, no wonder digitization took over everything.
Yep, yes.
There are more changes in the last 2 years I was at work than in the first 20. It was that fast. And Rick, it caught us dinosaurs, flat-footed, so to speak. We had it's like that cartoon from Gary Larson where he's addressing the other dinosaurs. And he said, we've got a problem. It says the comet's on the way, and we've got a brain the size of a walnut. That's about where we were. And that's the reason I quit. I just couldn't understand computers the way I did secret writing.
Yes. It's just such a fascinating story, and the background, and we can put trust in the way the story is told because the author has been there, that foot soldier in the CIA. It's such a remarkable book that he has written. It's a fast read. It's a fascinating read. There's humor there as well. What was the work atmosphere? Why was it different in the OTS from the typical CIA office? How much did it differ and why?
Well, it's very simple. The agent. The case officer had to take care of that agent. And that is an enormous responsibility. He recruits the agent. He tells the agent what to report on. He teaches the agent enough tradecraft so he won't get caught, hopefully. And he pays the agent, and he keeps him safe. If the case officer met that agent once in 6 days or once in 6 weeks, he can never lay that burden down of how things were going. What was going on with the agent when he couldn't check? Any case officer will tell you no agent is ever 100% recruited. He couldn't put that burden down. We, on the other hand, did what the case officer wanted. We did it really well. We knew that if the agent did what we told him, he was safe. And then we could move on to the next one. Case officer couldn't do that. So that's the reason we had such a good atmosphere. It was a wonderful place to work.
Finish that thought. I'm sorry.
As we used to say, romance without the pressure and the danger. It was great.
I was going to ask you about the pressure, and you answered that. It's such a remarkable career that you've had, and you talk about it in your book, Foot Soldier in the CIA. The author is James Williams. Book available, pageturner.us in the bookstore, Amazon, all of the usual places. And you touched on this before, and I rudely interrupted there. You retired early. Talk about that decision to retire early, and then you continued with yet another career.
I retired early. I would have stayed 18 more years if I could have. But I had the same problem as a case officer. Now, they knew how to handle agents. I didn't, but I knew they were people.
Yes.
And you might not be blood brothers, but that person is depending on you to keep them safe. If I'm teaching an agent how to do secret writing, I know everything that could happen. And what's more important, I know what could go wrong. In computers, I never felt that way, because in the computer, you make one wrong keystroke. You're using your phone as a regular item, and you download a suspicious app. I had no idea what to do in a situation like that. I couldn't tell that agent, this is something you could do that would be really bad. The simplest way is to put it as this: I didn't know what I didn't know, and I knew I'd never be satisfied. And I could have stayed. They offered me two other jobs, one in training and one in the countermeasures, but both of those also involved computers. And so, as Mickey Mantle once said, if you're hitting 238 and you can't go from first to third on a single, you need to hang it up.
A little slow rounding the bases. You were aware of that and decided to move on. I love that analogy. When you think about it, now you think you've got the bad guys under, you've got them corralled with all their hacking and all of this, and then you find out the day or so later they've figured out a way around it. And you don't think about that, but the CIA is one of the operations where you really need to be on top of that. From a secrecy standpoint, how was it difficult for you to tell this story? Was it difficult for you to talk to people about your job at the time, and certainly to write a book about it? Did they have to go through the manuscript when you were finished?
Oh, yes, they did. But you got to remember now, I wrote, as I say, during the Jurassic period. For instance, there's nothing I could disclose about secret writing that would make any difference. I doubt there's one intelligence service in the world that uses secret writing the way we did. Again, why should you? You've got the computer.
Yes.
You've got the cell phone. Let me give you one example why this is so important. Doc Coffey Photo, it was a big deal when I was there. We had small cameras and that kind of thing. We had ways to sneak an agent in to take pictures. He takes the pictures. He takes the film to the station. They develop it. They make prints. They send the prints headquarters. If you're lucky, it'll take 2 weeks. But now the agent's standing over that piece of paper. He takes a picture. He hits send. It's at headquarters immediately. No wonder we don't do stuff like that anymore.
Well, yeah, and we thought it was, space age technology at the time. And, now it's thoroughly dated. What was the excitement level left? We've got a couple minutes left in the program, but from the paper mill where you're in now, and what you're doing involves a national security, in many cases, clandestine operations, life and death possibly for the CIA agents. What was the excitement level like? I would think every day you're going in and witnessing something new and a very important job that you were doing.
You just said it. I couldn't have expressed it any better. I'll give you an example. See, you're working at a very good company, and you walk in, and there's a big announcement on the door. It says, come to your retreat this year. We'll be held in Pittsburgh instead of Miami Beach. Okay, wonderful. I walk in. I pick up the action board. I see a note that says, the tech ops officer stationed in Hong Kong has to go away for 2 months. We need you to come here and fill in for 2 months. That actually happened.
Wow.
Now, that's the difference.
Yes.
There's no better way. That 2 months in Hong Kong was two of the best months I've ever spent. And by the way, when I first looked down on Hong Kong from the peak, I said to myself, Mr. Singletary, I wish you could see me now.
And yeah, it's so important. Sometimes we take for granted the wisdom given to us by our teacher. And this resonated with you for all of these years. The algebra teacher in ninth grade that really helped guide you along the path. And what a remarkable path that you've had. Our guest is James T. Williams. The book is Foot Soldier in the CIA. A minute or so left at the end of the program. What is the codicil to your story? What does it say about America?
I put that in there because I like young people to understand this. My father had a third grade education. My mother had a sixth grade education. My grandmother couldn't read and write. But I have a master's degree in chemistry. We didn't have indoor plumbing until I was 12 years old. I hadn't been on an airplane till I was 22 years old. And now I have been in 61 countries, traveled millions of miles. I've seen the pyramids of Giza, Daibutsu in Japan.
Amazing.
That will give you some idea. What other country in the world could you do this other than America?
Well, it's a true American success story about shifting gears when you're not happy. There's so many lessons for people out there that feel like I've got a job, it's a secure job, it's paying the bills, I've got a good life, I'm not going to deviate from it. You did, and what a remarkable second career that you had. And it's detailed in the book, Foot Soldier in the CIA. It's really an interesting read. It's not a spy novel. Inside, it's got a little bit of everything there, including humor in the book. Book available. PageTurner.us in the bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. James, anything else you're working on? You've got a remarkable, so many stories in your life. Are you working on another book?
It can now be revealed. And I'm thinking about trying to write about my story. I haven't started that yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Interesting. Still part of that CIA in you. I'm asking a question. You're telling me it can't be revealed. So I like that. That's still part of the clandestine lifestyle that you had. James, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully with this new book to be revealed, we'll be able to talk about that as well. Thank you for being excellent job. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much.
It has been our pleasure. James T. Williams, the book is Foot Soldier in the CIA, available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to pageturner.us in their bookstore. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, a link there for pageturner.us. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.